Blog Talk Radio.
Andrew, I almost feel like this week of all weeks, we need to, this would be like a good theme week. Like we should be doing the show on the deck of the USS Intrepid or something.
Is that, where did Lex Luger body slam Yokozuna? Was that the Intrepid?
That was the Intrepid.
Wow.
I watched a highlight of that earlier today. I was showing one of my kids. I was like, you got to see this. I go, because I did the battles 30 years ago. It was 1993.
Oh, man. Did your kid like it?
He was like, this looks really old, Dad. I was showing it to my 11-year-old. He's like, is this what things look like back in the day? I'm like, it doesn't look that I was looking at it going, does it look that much different? Like, to me, I mean, yeah, it looks like it was from the 90s, but, I mean, it doesn't look like it was that much different than – and don't get me wrong, it's not an HD. The hair was a little different, but
yeah.
You would have thought I was showing him something from, like, 1970.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, the SD format, Lex Luger's fluffy hair sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's still in color. It's not like it's black and white.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have
– Kids these days.
Seriously. What ever happened to the USS Intrepid? I'm trying to find it here.
Well, that's a good question.
I wonder if it's still even...
Did it sink after that body slam?
It must have. since 2008, let's see, since 2011, it was transferred. Oh, it looks like it's part of the Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York City.
Oh, so you can just, like, go visit it?
Maybe. In April 2012, it was flown. What?
Flown?
Oh, no, that doesn't make any sense. There was something. It was part of a flyover. There was a space shuttle that was flown or put on the deck, maybe, as part of the museum, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. The Space Shuttle Enterprise was part of the Intrepid Museum's Space Shuttle Pavilion as of 2012, it looks like. So there. It looks like it's a museum, and so you can go visit it.
I wonder what percent of the people that go there go to see it because of Yokozuna and Lex Luger.
I would have to imagine some.
I mean, that would be the only reason I would go to it if I was in New York.
Yeah, you must have wrestling fans that go.
Yeah, because if you were like, do you want to go see a big boat? I'd be like, I don't know. Like, if you're like, do you want to see a big boat that... Luger body slam Yokozuna? I'm like, now we're talking.
Absolutely. Nowhere on here, by the way, on the Wikipedia page for the USS Intrepid, does it mention the fact that Stars and Slams, or whatever it was called, took place in the boat. Which you would think that would
really?
Be like... You would think that would be, I don't know, you would think that would be a Wikipedia-worthy line somewhere.
That's really odd that it isn't. I would figure that would be the main picture of it, too.
Apparently, let me see here. I got to go back to it. The USS Intrepid, was also known as the Fighting One, was built during World War II.
Mm.
Decommissioned shortly after the war, she was modernized and recommissioned in the early 50s as an attack carrier, and then eventually became an anti-submarine carrier. She served mainly in the Atlantic, but also participated in the Vietnam War. She was the recovery ship for a Mercury and Gemini space mission. Because of her prominent role in battle, she was nicknamed the Fighting One. While her frequent bad luck and time spent in dry dock for repairs, she was torpedoed once and hit in separate attacks by four Japanese kamikaze aircraft. Decommissioned in 1974. In 1982, Intrepid became the foundation of the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York City. So apparently even when it happened, when the Lex Luger thing happened, it was part of the museum.
It had been on a commission for, it sounds like, 11 years at that point. Interesting. This is one of our more random openings to the show, I would say, but I think it's a good history lesson for us all.
So even if you click on the museum's Wikipedia pages, there's a thing down the bottom where it says special events, and I would have assumed, okay, at some point,
yeah,
this would be mentioned. The museum serves as an event space for community and national events. For instance, it held concerts during the 2013 MLB All-Star Weekend and the 2014 Super Bowl, where the museum museum-docked cruise ship Norwegian Gateway turned into the Bud Light Hotel. But no mention of... That's a piece of American history, Lex Luger slamming Yokozuna.
Do you think they, like, hired somebody there specifically just to remove that entry from Wikipedia, like, whenever it pops up? Because I can think of no other way why that is not front and center.
I mean, that's got to be all... I don't know. I would imagine that's something... event that it's one of the most infamous wrestling things out there. Like, you would think it would absolutely be mentioned. I'm a little bummed that it wasn't.
That's ridiculous. Huh? Yeah, I figured there'd be. You can make a movie out of that, and the body slam that kind of rocked the not just the wrestling world, but really the world itself.
It was funny watching back the highlights today, though, and just like listening to Vince McMahon, like America was embarrassed. We were brought to our knees, our biggest and brightest, unable to slam the mighty Yokozuna. But then, on a helicopter came Lex Luger. Like, it just like, and how he was a heel before that. Like, he was the narcissist until that moment.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Vince, like, all of a sudden he came out in a Stars and Stripes shirt, and it was like, well, now he's a babyface. And Vince had said something on the car, like it was, they were recapping it on Raw, I think, the next week. And Vince was, I was watching it today. And Vince was like, we knew that Lex Luger loved nothing but himself, but we learned today that he also loved America. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is so cheesy.
This might be a dumb question, but when did this take place? Was it like June or July of 93?
It was 4th of July. 4th of July.
So then, 7 weeks later, they had him lose at SummerSlam?
Yeah. After they bust him across America on a big bus with his face on it.
Unreal.
Yep. Yeah, it was the 4th of July, 1993. So, and it was another, you want to talk about cringeworthy, too, stuff that just doesn't hold up now. Mm-hmm. But, like, when Lex got in the ring and cut his little promo before he body slammed Yokozuna, the reason why Yokozuna was a heel was because he was Japanese. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
There was no other reason. So Lex grabs a mic and he's like, I'm going to take your big, fat, sushi-eating mouth and I'm going to shut it. And people are going nuts. And I'm like, oh. Just like, yeah, this stuff does not hold up.
He could not do that.
Yeah, not at all.
And he wasn't even Japanese anyways. He was Hawaiian.
Samoan,
yeah.
Oh, that's the other point. I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, so ridiculous that he didn't win. That, like, they set that all up, but yeah. Anyway.
I know. It's just crazy to think about, like, it is kind of funny and ridiculous to think of how far wrestling has come of, like, what 30 years ago would have made a guy a heel. Like all it needed to be was he was Japanese. That's it. If he was Japanese, you were a heel.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, like, Lord Tenzai, again, was, like, not Japanese, but, you know, the reason we're supposed to hate him because he was from Japan, I guess. And, like, Kenzo Suzuki before that, Muhammad Hassan. So that was all throughout the 2000s.
Akushi, everybody else, yep.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to phone calls, emails, because it is a holiday week. People are probably listening to this on the 4th of July, so I don't know. What it's barbecues, right? Cookouts, that's what people do on the 4th of July. That's a big thing.
Cookouts, they shoot fireworks, have some beer,
yes.
So hot dogs. Yeah.
My neighbors always light off fireworks, and it scares the crap out of my dogs. So.
Oh, we got some of that going around here, but, yeah, one of my cats is, like, 20 and can barely hear, so he's just sleeping on through it.
Yeah, that's true. The older dog doesn't know what's going on, but the younger one, what is this?
Yeah,
what is this disturbance in the force here that we have going on?
Yeah, my other cat's freaking out, too. Knock it off, people.
All right, yeah. I mean, come on. Like, we get it. Let the professionals light up the fireworks. Why? I've never understood that, hey, let me light up a bunch of fireworks in my backyard, and that's how I'm going to celebrate. Because I'm not. You're only American if you light off fireworks in your backyard. I just don't understand it. I don't know.
I maybe this is a weird confession. I don't, when I was thinking this today, I don't think I've lit off a firework in my entire life. I've seen them many, 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 but people do it, but I've just never been like, yes.
I don't think I have either.
Maybe
I mean, I've got like the sparklers things, but like, yeah, I've never lit off an actual firework. No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, but I'm not going to be the one to buy them, I say.
Yeah. I have a kid I went to high school with who blew his hand off trying to light one.
His entire hand?
Yeah. Like, it's gone. He was like 19. Guess what? Alcohol was involved. He was drunk on a beach, and they were lighting off fireworks, and he held it too long, and it blew his hand off.
Wow. So, like, did they reconstruct it at all, or it's just, it's done?
I think it's just done. I don't really know. I mean, I went to school. I don't really know him well. I remember seeing him afterwards, and, yeah, it's just kind of gone. Like, I mean, you can see that it used to be a hand, but, like, there's not, the digits aren't there.
Sure.
The digits are gone.
Oh, and that's a story you would, like, literally have to retell, like, hundreds, if not thousands of times in your life, because people are going
to
ask. Yeah.
What happened to your hand? Dude, what happened to your hand? At what point do you start making stuff up? Like, I got in a fight with a shark.
Yeah, actually. I was protecting a woman from a shark, punched it in the mouth.
Yeah. I punched it right in the face. And then I got mad.
I saved four people, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to make yourself look like a hero. All right, let's start first with the DJ in Miami. Also, if we've got a couple phone callers on the line. If you are on the line, DJ was the only one with his hand up. So if you do want to get on the air, just hit the number one. That lets us know you want to get on the air. So if you are on hold and you're not DJ, it means because your hand is not up. So hit number one. That is going to tell us you want to get on. But DJ, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. It's the fourth. Can I ask you three EEAW and then one WWE question? For 4th of July?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
I think that works. Yeah.
That's what do you want to start with? I guess because you're talking about WWE. I guess let me get that out of the way. My question is this. I'm just asking, just out of curiosity, because I just thought, like, okay, in general, if John Cena came out, right, and I feel like he was kind of heelish, whatever, he was saying, manager this and this. I feel like it has nothing to do with Waller. I know Waller's ready. He's a great on the mic, everything. I just thought in general, it would be Cody or it would be Braun Breaker because he lost to Seth. I thought for sure if John Cena's doing this hinty thing, like, oh, it could be my last match, blah, blah, blah. I thought sure of anybody, it would be those two guys compared to Ronald. Waller is great, but he is going to be just a great heel, but going through John Cena, I understand it because John Cena lost so many times, but or do you think, like, are they just going to do a couple, you know, three times or just one and done because, you know, he lost so many times, but I thought in general, if this is going to be John's last match, you think it would be Cody or Braun Breaker giving the rub compared to giving a heel the rub, you see what I'm saying? Because they're both baby faces and Waller's a heel.
Yeah. Yeah,
in general.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you're going to do it, Andrew, you're going to do it with somebody who you think is going to be a big star because Cena was the biggest star of his generation, right? So
yeah.
If you're going to do it, if he's going to have one more match and give that rub to somebody, you want to give it to the guy who's going to be the biggest star from that moment. And it's probably not Grayson Waller, like no offense to him. Yeah, I think it makes a lot more sense to do it with Cody or with, you know, honestly, Breaker probably makes the most sense because Braun Breaker is going to be kind of the next guy. It certainly seems that way, that's where they're trending towards, you know, for the next however many years. He may be the new Cena slash, I mean, there's never going to be another Cena. I think that the time of, like, the one big baby face running being in charge of the company and being the face is probably over. Unless Triple H gets his way, I think Vince is just too afraid to put all of his eggs in one basket. But Breaker's probably going to be the modern iteration of Cena, and if that makes sense. I would think it makes sense to have him do it with him and give Breaker that win, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe he beats Grayson Waller, like on a SmackDown or something, and that sets up a Braun Breaker match. Like, they could always do something like that, too.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense as well to do something like that, because especially they just did the Austin Theory match, like, 3 months ago, and that did absolutely nothing for Austin Theory. So it just seems like, you know, oh, we're just going to do like another mid-card, you know, not a ton of potential heel in this situation. So I'm kind of surprised, one, they're doing it so soon. And yeah, I think Breaker would be a more interesting choice as well. Maybe John's just being, you know, overly dramatic and he figures he may have a couple years left. Though I do think he told Cody, like, you know, I think Cody was angling for a match with him and, like, you know, said like, hey, you know, love to wrestle you or something to that fact. And John's just like, I don't know how many more of these I got left in me. So maybe he really is kind of thinking it's near the end and wants to put a few people over on the way out.
I could see that. I mean, how old? Let me look this up here. Cena is how old?
Oh, that's older than I thought.
46, and, I mean, the movie thing seems to be going well. I mean, it is not to the level of The Rock, but
right.
It's going well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I could see him wrapping up for sure. Do you agree, DJ?
Yeah. Well, let me throw this in before I switch to EAW. I think if they ever if Cena would ever go heel, because think about it. When he went to do the movie, that was a heel role. It would have been great if they would have turned him heel, not babyface. And then how do you babyface and then in the movie you're a heel? What? I mean, that would have been so great. Then it could have been Cody. It could have been anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would have been perfect. And then especially if he's wrapping up, it would have been the Hogan thing all over again. I mean, look how many people watch EAW and Hogan was a heel. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, well, Hogan had that run as a heel, obviously, with the NWO, but then he came back as a babyface. Like, he had his last little bit there was the red and yellow was back when he tagged with Edge and that stuff. So I think you're right that that could have been a time to have him do a few matches as a heel. But I think for someone like Cena, who was the number one babyface for so long, whenever his end comes, his end needs to come with him as a babyface. Andrew, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I would still absolutely love to see him as a heel. I mean, we haven't seen it since 2005, 2004, something like that.
Yeah, maybe even earlier.
Yeah, and he was really good in that role, and he's had a whole, you know, such a essentially an iconic wrestling figure over the past 20 years. I'm sure he has a lot, like, to sink his teeth into. I think it would be a blast if he did, and it could be, like, you know, Hogan-type levels of at least fun, probably not of popularity, but... Yeah, I don't know. I would love to see that. Because, I mean, honestly, he's, what, 46, so that's old. But, I mean, Edge is, like, 5 years older. Chris Jericho is older. Christian is older. The Rock is older. So if he wanted to, it would be fun to see, like, at least, like, a 3 to 6 month run from him doing that. And then could go away again and then come back and kind of as a babyface, you know, right off in the sunset.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense.
I guess we'll start with EAW. I watched Saturday. I don't know about you guys, but it feels just like Wednesday. And Wednesday feels like Friday, and Friday feels like Saturday. Just because the announcers are different, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, the first one was excellent, and then all of a sudden, next time it feels like Wednesday.
Yeah, which is probably what they're going to feel like. You know, Tony's booking both of them, Andrew, right? So I would imagine there may be some weeks where there's a slight variation, but for the most part, they're going to feel like the same show. I mean, Raw and SmackDown feel like the same show, right?
Yeah. I was not big on this week's episode. I just watched it last night. I was out of town all day, so I was a little tired, but just the whole time watching it, I was just kind of bored, like, honestly. For the majority of it, and the crowd I think was like deader than they've ever been for an AEW show, so that didn't help. And it seems like they already did not promote a lot of interesting things for the show. Roderick Strong versus Samoa Joe to me is not that interesting of a main event. So I don't know. It might have been an off week. He might have just realized, like, hey, you know, Tony might have just been like, well, this is a holiday weekend.
Yeah, they recorded it too, I think. Right.
Oh yeah, on Thursday I think they did.
Yeah, so that which could have played a role in that as well. But, yeah, I think that's probably a big part. I mean, it's a holiday weekend. They probably weren't expecting big numbers, so we're not going to load it up if we're not going to get the big number, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would love to see them switch it up even more, do something different. I was reading on, like, it might have just been, like, a Reddit thread, but people were saying, like, the big difference is that show feels more mat-based wrestling, less, like, high-flying action. That could have just been, like, a one-week thing, and... Or maybe it's an intentional since, like, Bryan Danielson is one of the creatives on that show. So maybe he's pushing for matches like that.
Yeah.
That would differentiate it somewhat, at least, I guess.
But let me say this, though, real quick when I switch a question. They did how they brought it to us. It was supposed to be a totally different show. You know what I'm saying? With Punk and everything. It just 100% felt like Wednesday, you know? So I just hope they change, do something.
Yeah, I'd like to see it feel different. You know, it kind of did the first week. It hasn't since. I would agree.
I guess, and just to jump in quick, the only thing that's like popping to my mind that's different, it's nothing major, of course, but like just opening the show with people talking about, you know, they have those wrestlers do, they talk for like 10, 15 seconds and then cut to the next wrestler and talk for like 10, 15 seconds. And it's kind of cheesy. It feels like WWF, a main event, NBC type stuff, but maybe in their mind, they're just trying to do at least a couple different things. But yeah, agreed. They should go to further lengths to differentiate the shows.
Okay, my next question is, this is a two-part question. This is, well, it's kind of, you know, you'll understand why I get to it. You'll understand. But okay, so Damian won the Money in the Bank, okay? I feel like what Christian Cage is doing with the Big Dinosaur, it was what I would love to see with Priest and Dominic. You know what I'm saying? They would do it so much better than what they're doing with Cage. Just, I don't know where it's going to end up with these guys, but that would be so great with with Dominic though. So what do you really think at the end of the day it's going to happen with Cage? But what would you guys think? With what Cage is doing, what would be Dominic too with Priest?
I think Dominic would be good in that Christian Cage role. I mean, he can work, obviously, but he's not going to light the world on fire. But he is
act like theirs, like it's their his fan, like
100%, 100%. Yeah, and he, I mean, he's got the heel persona down. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, I think if they did it, Andrew, it would just feel like a complete ripoff of what Cage is doing. But I mean, in terms of like, would he be effective playing a role like that? Yeah, I think he'd be really effective at it.
Oh yeah, agreed. Had they done that first, it probably would have been more fun, anyways. I mean, I do like Christian Cage, but Luchasaurus, I don't think is ever going to get over at like a top level just because it's such a goofy gimmick as a top heel. I don't see that a growling dinosaur like genuinely angering people. So I wish I wish Christian was like paired with somebody else. But yeah, I think a Priest Dominic pairing with that would be a lot more fun.
Okay, going to my last question really quick because I know you guys want to do what you guys do. My last thing is with Jungle Boy. I feel like if they're going to do it, pull the trigger. Let Anna Jay talk for him. He can't talk. You know what I'm saying? She's a heel. We all know she's a heel. She was with Jericho. I forgot whoever she was with, but I think it was Jericho. But you know what I'm saying? Let her talk for him. He can be this snotty, rich kid like Dominic. You know, act like that. He would get over so much then compared to like this emo, whatever. And you know what I'm saying? Like, he's never going to get over. He can be a great heel like that. Like Wall or Dominic, but you know what I'm saying? All he needs is a mouthpiece. And like Jim Cornette really said, in general, there is really no real people who walk these guys to the ring and help these guys. And like, you know, there's really no managers out there, like real managers. I don't consider Christian a manager. Look at how he's acting. You know what I'm saying? He's like in general. So we really need managers, not just, people who trying to act like one, but they're really not.
He needs somebody to talk for him. I don't know who it is, Andrew, but he needs somebody to talk for him because that's where he's lacking right now. He's not there yet. He needs to work on it, but realistically, if he's going to get over now, he needs someone to be that mouthpiece.
Yeah, I think last week we were talking about him and his potential, and I think you guys were higher on – I was higher on him than you guys were, but after seeing his promo this past week, I think I'm not overly excited about his future as a singles heel star. I mean, obviously he's still young. He can still learn across the way, but for the short term, yeah, I would pair him with Anna Jay fast. And one – because I think that's a good idea, like what you guys are saying. And then two, just like get her out of the Jericho Appreciation Society. Like her character is just dead there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that works.
They could be a fun couple of like Hollywood brats or Nepo babies, or I don't know. Do something.
Yeah.
You could do something fun with that.
I don't know. I just think, like, if they're going to do something, they got to do it fast with him because, I don't know, it's just like Darby, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, you know, they're not going to grow. What they're going to do, you know? They're going to need baby faces. Now they want to turn them heels, but we don't need heels. We need baby faces, like we were saying. So if he's going to do it, pull the trigger with him.
Yeah, I think they can't. They just need someone. If it's Jungle Boy, he needs someone to talk for him.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't. They have a lot of guys that feel like they're in that kind of in-between world where no one really knows. I don't even think Tony knows what they're going to be long term.
Tony doesn't know anything. As you can tell, he's, you know, everything is, you know, Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even know if they still have the shows on YouTube. It's like, oh, I'm so confused. I don't even know what Big Show is or Mark Henry. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, everything's so confusing me now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, hopefully we'll see you next week. Watch, Saturday, I guarantee. Just pay attention, and you'll see. It will be just like Wednesday. Watch.
I will watch and see if we agree.
All right. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Yeah. I think it will. Look, it's kind of – I don't know. I know the first one, they did a good job of making it feel different than Dynamite. But
yeah,
since then, not so much.
Yeah, week one was fun. I enjoyed that show, but it has been it's just like Rampage so far, where it was like fun at the start and then takes a big dive. But yeah, then again, like we were saying, maybe it's just a holiday and there'll be more thought behind it.
I'm willing to cut him some slack for this week because of the holiday, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So 240 was on the line. Erico 240, I'm not sure if you're looking to get on the air or not. I'm going to unmute you. You can say hello once you hear the beep. If you want, if you don't want to get on the air, stay silent and we'll take you back off again. But 240, are you there?
Yes, I am. But I was just holding on because I'm actually calling to be a participant in the second half of your program, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. All right. That's okay. Well, I'm going to put you back on hold. We'll get to that in a little bit. Everybody knows what that means.
I think I know. Yeah.
So let's bust through the rest. We get some emails here, and then we'll get to the second half of the show. This has got me excited now. All right. happy 4th of July to everybody. It's America's birthday. All right. Here we go. Speaking of America's birthday, Paul in London, who's not celebrating the 4th of July tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Here. He says, hey, both of you, there's one main reason why I don't think the Bucks and Punk will ever happen. Think about it. If you were the Bucks, with the mic skills they have, would you want to go on live TV head-to-head with Punk? You would be obliterated. I really think they know this, and although would never admit it, won't be too keen on going into a full feud with him because he'll show them up, and they would look like fools. And it's not because they are fools, because Punk is so – it's just because Punk is so good on the mic. What are your thoughts? Andrew, I had not thought of this as a scenario. I mean, maybe, right? However, I feel like if they do have a match at some point, it's going to be so micromanaged by Cody to make sure that everybody's getting along and everything's okay, that it may be one of the most heavily scripted feuds in AEW history in terms of what is said. So I don't know if they would have as much to worry about there, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. And, oh, and just briefly, you said Cody, but I'm assuming you meant Tony Khan.
Oh yeah. Tony. I said Cody because I've got Raw on and they're showing a highlight package of Cody and Lesnar going.
Oh, there. Okay. So yeah.
Cody was on the brain. Cody's neck tattoo was on the brain.
Hey, it's a very patriotic tattoo. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that either, and I think it is probably something the Young Bucks wouldn't probably admit out loud that they would get destroyed on the mic by CM Punk. Though I think if they were being honest with themselves, they probably know that they would. And I don't think they're terrible by any means on the mic. They just don't do it a lot, and I've never seen them even like a 5-minute heated promo. So it'd be very interesting to watch them try. You know, to go after Punk and see how that would go. But I don't think it would probably go overly well for them because I've just never seen him take like great digs at other people or anything.
Zach in Texas is up next. I'm actually looking ahead here, and I'm going to read this, the end of his email first because this is fascinating. Yeah. Remember last week we said he sent his email in at like 4:20 or 4:40 a.m. or something.
Mm-hmm.
We were curious about it. Was he a night owl and he was up late, or is he a morning person who was up early? The end of his email, he says, to answer your question from last week, I'm a night owl, just like Mike, and I sent that email before I laid down. I'm a night owl, but I'm not that. I mean, that's
wow.
I applaud him there. I don't know that I can make it to 4. I mean, not anymore anyway.
Yeah.
4 a.m.
No.
I'm topping out at like 2:30. 2:30, then after that,
oh, wow.
once the clock hits 3, I'm definitely like I can't tell you the last time I've made it to 3.
I couldn't either. And it used to, and probably until like 4 or 5 years ago, it was fairly regular. Like I was night owl as well, but then just all of a sudden it just hit me in around midnight. That's when I start getting a little sleepy, a little cranky if I'm not in bed.
Yeah, I would say like my most productive hours are between like 10 and 12.
Oh, yeah, like, same. Yeah.
Like if I have something to write, that's usually when I'm up writing. And then by midnight, though, I'm ready to call it. But I'll stay up and watch TV until like 1:30.
Now I'm curious what time he wakes up. If he goes to bed at 4.
It's true. This email was sent at 1:14 a.m.
Jeez, that was still early for him.
That is early. The beginning of his email says, fellas, Sting is a madman. In his 60s, he has fully entered into I don't give an F period of his career. Sting jumping up high things has become something to look forward to at pay-per-views, but his dive off the ladder Wednesday was insane. When he climbed the ladder and I realized he was going to do the dive, I didn't know whether to be scared or awed. At 64 years old, Sting is still willing to put his body on the line to entertain us. For that, we owe him our respect. I'm aware he didn't come away from the dive unscathed. He busted his lip and maybe knocked a tooth loose. I do think people are blowing the risk out of proportion. They set up 2 tables to increase the surface area and cushion the fall some. The only 2 mistakes were the ladder needing to be a bit more to the right and Sting needed to climb up 1 more rung. If those things had been done, he would hit the splash perfectly. So many people have said Tony Khan needs to step in and tell Sting no, but can he? Sting is a legend. You might even say an icon. At this point, he's earned the right to do whatever he wants, hasn't he? I don't think Tony's wrong to trust that Sting knows what he can and can't do. He's got some other stuff here. But, yeah, the Sting dive was kind of nuts. It didn't look great, obviously. I guess, Andrew, in terms of – I get what Zach is saying here. Like, at some point, Sting's an independent contractor. He's willing to do it. He's the one doing it. I understand the safety aspect of it and people that are saying, look, Tony should step in and tell Sting, like, dude, you're going to hurt yourself. We're not doing this. And as the boss, he has the ability to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even as Zach admits here, though, where it didn't look pretty, I mean, does it come a point where you don't want to do this, but even if you took the safety out of it completely, do you look at it and just go, you know what, it doesn't look good. It's not what I want presented on the show. Or is it fine because it's Sting? I mean, look, it got a huge reaction. Like, at the end of the day, that's what we judge the stuff on, I think, right? And he keeps getting those reactions, which is why I think he's still willing to do what he's doing.
I think the problem, just in the specific bump, I think the problem for me was, like, I thought the tables were way too far. I thought even, like, you know, when Darby Allin was climbing up, I was concerned for him, and I don't talk out loud too much, but I was like, those are too far. Like I said that out loud because I was like, there's no way Sting's going to make that. He got further than I thought he would. But yeah, I wish they had just called an audible or just like, you know, gotten out of the ring and like moved him closer. But I think there's safer ways to do that too. Cause they could have just like had him jump off the ladder and his opponent's, like, in the ring on a table. Like, take that extra danger out of it, and you're still going to get a big pop, like,
true,
from the crowd, because it's, like,
true,
Sting doing that. So I
Sting
think,
going through a table, yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's, like, safer ways to do that. I think that one was too dangerous. You know, and I think, you know, I just would have done it in a more safer way, and I know that you know, at the end of the day, Tony is the one in charge, and he should at least, like, try to reason with Sting and be like, hey, maybe we can do some big spots, but we should make them safer, and we probably shouldn't do them every time because they lose their effect if you do it every single match. But I guess maybe that's just Sting's thing right now. You know, like, I guess Foley back in the day, he's like, I want to take one crazy bump every single time. Or Shane McMahon, he's like, I just want to do some of that. So
what's interesting is, like, I don't remember Sting doing that very much during his career.
Never.
So, like,
that's
the thing, right? Like, it was never a hallmark of his career to do these big crazy dives. So it seems a little out of place that at 64 years old, he's decided, oh, I'm going to start being New Jack and I'm going to jump off of high things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, New Jack did it, Mick Foley did it, but, like, it was never a Sting thing. So that's why it's kind of weird to me that he's doing it now, but because he didn't do it. He didn't do it in WCW. He didn't do it in TNA. He didn't do it in WWE. He got hurt. So, I mean, he had some matches where he would dive out of the ring and stuff like that, but not the crazy stuff that we're seeing now. And I guess, you know, part of it is, I think Zach does have a point, like, with all of the props and stuff around, it does kind of make, I think you can make the argument, if the table was set up correctly where it was supposed to be, that bump might be safer than him taking a buckle bomb like he did with Seth Rollins. You know, and it might be safer than him, you know, diving through the ropes at someone who has to catch him. And, like, there's arguments to be made that now he's trying to maybe mask the fact that he's 64 years old by doing some of this crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, maybe he's, I don't know, like, self-conscious about, like, hey, I can't do, like, a full-on one-on-one match anymore, but I can do something crazy every single match. Because, yeah, like you're saying, I have no memory of him doing this in even TNA when he was in his 50s. Maybe there was an exception or two, but it definitely was not every single match he was busting out something wild.
Yeah. Zach finishes up in here by saying he continues to think that AEW pushing Punk as a babyface is a mistake. He received another largely negative reaction in Hamilton, yet he's being positioned directly opposite Jay White. There's a chance, not a huge chance, but a chance nonetheless, that Punk could turn heel on Ricky Starks in the Owen Hart final, assuming they both make it, and then join the Bullet Club Gold. That would certainly allow the fans to boo him as they please. And then he says, now that we know Blood and Guts is going to be in Boston, Mike, I assume you're going to be going to that show. You wouldn't want to miss out on that carnage. I mean, he's going to fight on Challenge, too. I may be. So I don't know if you remember, a year ago, I was coaching my son's Little League All-Star team. Trying to go to the Little League World Series. So we went pretty far last year. That was with my older son, who was 13. It's the 12-year-old team that goes to that tournament. So he was on it last year as a 12-year-old, and I coached that team. And now my younger son, who's only 11, made our 12-year-old team, so I'm coaching that team again. So there is a chance that I will, if we don't get eliminated and continue to go far, that I will be coaching a game that night and will not be able to go. However, I if I have nothing to do that night, I do plan on going. It's the first time AEW is going to run TD Garden, which is the big building in Boston that WWE runs and everything else where the Bruins and Celtics play. So I will likely go to the show if I have nothing going on that night, Zach, but it will probably be a very last-minute decision, maybe even like a couple of days before. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Fair. We will see.
Fair. Is this? Are you also in contention for the World Series this year?
So, I mean, everybody is if you keep winning. There's a bunch of stages that you got to go through. It just started, so we're still in the first stage. So there's the district stage, which has, like, I think our district has 12 teams in it. And then if you win that, you go to sectionals, which is four district champions play each other in a tournament. Then if you win that, you go to your state finals, which, again, are four sectional winners play in the states. And then regionals, which for us are in Connecticut, and it's Massachusetts winner, Connecticut winner, New Hampshire winner, you know, all the regional state winners. And then the winner of the regional goes to the Little League World Series. So we will see. We don't know. We're 2-0 so far. We haven't lost. So we've started well.
You're quite the coach then. All right.
Yes, exactly. It's all the coaching. That's what I've been telling the kids.
I would take all the credit, yeah.
I said to them, clearly, it's all the coaching. No, it's fun, though. It's because it's a good group of kids. And it was, I'm like, seeing it from two different sides, though, because last year I had a 12-year-old who was a catcher. Like, both my kids are catchers. So he was the 12-year-old catcher, and like, just by being a catcher, you got to be a little bit of a captain, kind of, because it's like being the quarterback of a football team.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it last year, but he was a 12-year-old, and everybody kind of, you know, was fine. He was in that spot. Now it's weird because my 11-year-old is doing it now, and it's like, well, you know, almost everyone on the team is older than he is. So mm-hmm. it's weird to kind of be in that spot where, like, well, you're in charge, and he's like, well, shouldn't other guys be in charge? Like, I'm kind of the young guy here.
Like, oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but, you know, it's the position you're in that you kind of have to direct people, and it's been different, but still good. They all know each other. We live in a small town, so like, these kids play together all year, so it's fun.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, very cool.
It's very fun. So we'll see. If I don't have a baseball game that night, Zach, I plan on going. I've never been to a wrestling show where there's been two rings set up, Andrew. Have you?
No, I don't think so. No, I think closest. No, not even close. I think I went to like a Hell in a Cell match or. Maybe. Or maybe it's just a cage. So nothing of the sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be fun. It'd be fun. Jose. Oh, here we go. Jose from Golden Valley.
Been waiting all week. Oh, my gosh.
So I will admit this, Andrew. So a couple things. Jose and Alex both sent in emails this week. They both came in about 29 minutes apart. So they were back to back. However, I'm noticing here my Gmail inbox for our show email has kind of switched the order of the emails a couple of times. It hasn't switched names, uh-huh. but it has switched orders. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe it was an inbox screw up. I don't know.
Okay.
But Jose's email was sent at 8:03 this evening, and Alex's email was sent at 8:32. We'll see.
Right. Okay. I'm
take
ready.
That for what you may.
Yeah.
All right. Jose from Golden Valley says, I have no clue what happened last week. I swear on Mike's never-ending supply of sparkling water that I did nothing.
Do you have sparkling water? Never-ending supply?
I don't. I don't even really like sparkling water. Have we talked about sparkling water?
I drink it almost every week during the show, but I didn't know you had an endless supply.
I mean, I like those little polar ones in the cans.
They're
okay.
Yeah.
I do enjoy them, but I don't have a never-ending. I mean, I wish I had a never-ending supply.
Oh, I would love that, yeah.
Right now I'm drinking a giant smart water.
Oh, that's not, I just have boring tap water.
What is this? This is 34 ounces.
Oh, man. I'm in a hot room, too. I have no AC in my office. Torture.
No.
Yeah.
Neither do I. I'm in my my office is in the basement, so it's a little easier.
Oh, nice.
Still not as cool as it is upstairs, though.
Yeah.
He swears my never ending supply of sparkling water that he did nothing. So maybe this was just a glitch. I blame the Russian hackers who infiltrated Mike's email. You guys missed the opportunity of opening up a Juno account like Meltzer has. I forget that Juno's still in existence, Andrew. It's like Hotmail. Is Hotmail still around?
Yeah. Hotmail is still around. I didn't know Juno was a thing. I thought he was talking about the movie with Michael Cera and Elliot Page, I guess.
What was the other one? When I was a kid, we had the one that was like, it's free internet. Net Zero. That's what we had at one point.
Oh, Net Zero. Yeah. I remember that one.
My dad was like, I'm not paying this $8 for AOL anymore. We're going to Net Zero.
Oh, boy.
I think it was the first like DSL hookup I ever had. I was like, oh, my God, look how fast this is. Lightning quick speeds.
Lightning quick.
DSL.
Faster than 56K. Unbelievable.
Yeah. let's see. Jose says the Jungle Boy heel promo was absolutely excruciatingly bad. Shoehorning Anna Jay into the promo was just as brutal as when Mike shoehorns quotes when he reads a quote. Oh, quote when he reads. Yeah, well, I have to say it's a quote.
You shoehorn in a quote when you read a quote?
I think he means when I'll say, like, quote, blah, 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 end quote. But I think I'm just trying to keep it official. That's all.
Yeah, it's official.
Yeah. Nobody talks like that in real life. They say so, and so was like, not quote. Oh, I get it, but I don't know. It's you know what it is, Andrew? It's because we're on an audio medium here. I'm trying to let people know when the quote starts and ends.
Yeah, no one can see you. I don't think.
I can't do no one can see me do air quotes.
Yeah. I mean, Jose is just, he's hot tonight.
He is. He says, even the wink of the camera looked unnatural. Tony is really going to pass on making guys like Starks and Hobbs key players in favor of trying to make this guy and Sammy a thing. I saw an AEW video of CM Punk promoting the Fight Forever video game. The irony of him selling the game after they took him completely off the cover art. Even funny is the AEW using superstar in their lexicon. There was one time I saw an ad or heard Excalibur say, quote, meet your favorite AEW superstars, end quote. I think they try and copy. There you go, Jose. That's just for you. I hope they try and copy the Fed sometimes and maybe trick people who don't know better out of some money. Every gaming console is a Nintendo to some parents. Every wrestling company could be WWE. Then again, it is literally just branding, and everywhere does it. When you work at Subway, you are like a sandwich artist or some trash like that. They aren't going to call you a food preparer or whatever else. Lastly, Andrew, quit. He's going in on you now.
Oh, boy.
Quit
my
being
turn.
Soft.
Quit, is that like S-A-W-F-T?
No, but it would be funny. Quit being soft and hitting us over the head with, quote, that's very hurtful, end quote. Another one for you there. You put them in there, Jose. I don't understand this. The man who pays for your Chipotle is always accused of sensationalism from Twitter trolls because of his reporting on the backstage environment Cody, Brandy, and Punk had with the Elite, and he takes it on the chin and never uses a forced line. The journalism department of Fargo University fumbled big time. I don't understand this at all. What?
If I understand correctly, he's taking a shot. No, he's not taking a shot. He's saying Wade gets attacked by people on Twitter, and Wade just, like, takes it, whereas I
okay.
go. Whereas I go, quote, that's really hurtful, end quote.
Well, I mean, it is, right?
Yeah.
No one likes being attacked.
I mean, just because it's hurtful doesn't mean I, like, you know, cry in my sleep. I'm just acknowledging the fact that it was a hurtful comment.
Yeah. Was Jose's email hurtful? Was that last paragraph hurtful?
I mean, it was hurtful. Will I be thinking about it in an hour? No.
All right, we got to fight all the challenges. We'll get to that later. Alex in Minneapolis, as far as last week's episode, I just want to say that the ghost boy needs to quit getting the rub off me. Whoa. Connor Chad stealing my moment by calling in and taking a shot at me is criminal. Eradicate the half points once and for all. As grown men, learn to accept that half points don't exist in life. As Freebird Hayes told WWE talent over the years, you can't get half pregnant. You either are or you aren't. Going in on Chad. Okay.
Jeez. Alex knows they just going after everyone.
I'm going to say, Andrew, similar tone to these emails.
Yeah, as Alex.
Alex continues here. I know Mike hates my boy Logan Paul as much as he hates 12-time Journalist of the Year Ariel Helwani, but you got to admit he stole the ladder match with another balls out insane spot. Not only has he taken the business taken to the business as a fish to water, but every match comes out of it with more passion and love for the sport. Yeah, you know what, Andrew? We've talked about this quickly. We'll go on with Alex's email in a second, but I don't like him. I think outside of wrestling, he's a jerk. But he's picked this up incredibly quickly, and he's a really good heel.
Oh, I've probably praised him half a dozen times on the show. Like, I think he's an annoying idiot, but his he's fantastic in wrestling. Like, I would put I would give him the belt over Seth Rollins in a heartbeat.
It's amazing what he's done. I mean, the guy's never wrestled.
No, yeah, he's no one. And I think I said this
wrestling pay per view quality matches.
Nobody's first five or six matches ever has been that good. Like, maybe
no.
controversial,
oh,
but like,
no.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you're right.
Like, think of any Mick Foley, no. Steve Austin, no. The Rock, no. Undertaker, no. Their first, like, half a dozen matches. And I know there's different scenarios, but they were not that good out of the gate.
No. Which tells you, like, how crazy good could he be if it was like, you know what, I'm just going to do this full time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the only people comparable are Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle, and they both had, what, like a year or two of training? Of, like, full-time training. Like, Paul didn't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, no. No, not at all. Not at all.
And it kills me to say that because, yeah, he's annoying.
I know. I agree. Alex continues here. A billionaire should bankroll a promotion and apply Vince Russo's concept of a show with no actual wrestling, but just talking. All wrestling moves would be banned and promos And promos, they get people upset. It's just ring entrances now, but you're not allowed to run in. Everyone clowning on Kevin Nash for calling LA Knight a knockoff Rock is lame. My man has made more money in the off the business than most do in a lifetime. A first ballot TNA Hall of Famer who made main event level money doing the absolute least and taking less than 50 bumps in 7 years. The master of the jackknife and checkmate. Nash recently was asked on his podcast if he'd ever take a backstage role in WWE. Nash basically said, he's 64 and needs to take his wife all over Germany, then Italy. Nash wants to quit being a clown husband and take his wife all over the world. Quote, I would last 2 weeks and then I would get fired because I would go, this is just dog piss. That's garbage. End quote. Big sexy shooting for that Husband of the Year award. A pure king we don't deserve. It's too bad because I think Kevin Nash would be good. Would be good in a role like that, but oh well.
Yeah, I think him and Scott Hall, if he were still around, I think they would have been fantastic to just like shoot.
Yeah.
They're like, just hire them to say what ideas suck. Like, they don't have to come
exactly.
up with stuff even. Yeah, like they could pick stuff apart. Yeah.
Yep. All right, Andrew, you know what time it is?
Ooh, I sure do.
$5 challenge. All right, well, here we go. We're going to go back to 240 on the phone. This was like a big tease earlier in the night, but let me put it this way. I hope that I didn't put you back on hold, and I hope this is what you were talking about. I didn't misunderstand you, because I would be very disappointed right now.
Yes, it was. it was.
Well, first of all, how are you? What's your name? Yes.
Oh, okay. Good evening, gentlemen. This is Steve from Bowie, Maryland. First time I've called on Mondays, but I've called on Sundays. I've called on Tuesdays a bunch, but I've had this one cooking in my head for a little while, but I figured I wanted to get to jump on anybody else and be the first live caller $5 challenge.
Yeah,
like
you're the
it.
First.
Like
That's
it.
A trivia
All
question.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
I like it. All right.
It's not the world's – I came over with it on the quick, but it might test your – it's wrestling-based, but it might test your knowledge more of the music industry and – pop culture more so than wrestling. I'm going to give you five well-known, very popular songs that have been or are used as entrance themes. And I want you to 1 to 5 in terms of the highest place they reached on Billboard's Hot 100 chart.
Oh, wow. This is cool. I like this car. Okay.
Casey Kasem's American Top 40.
Yeah.
These are all.
Yeah. Okay.
All from the 80s and one from the early 90s. But
so you're going to give us the five songs. We have to. I'm sorry. Just so I'm clear, you're going to give us the five songs. We have to give you the order in which we think the from highest to lowest where they ranked or where they topped out on the Billboard chart.
Exactly. And I'll give them to you in alphabetical order by title. The first one is number one, Another One Bites the Dust by Queen, which was Junkyard Dog's indie entrance theme before he came to WWE and they gave him Grab Them Cakes. So number one is Another One Bites the Dust.
Okay.
The second one is Cult of Personality.
Oh, nice.
I love it.
Third is Enter Sandman.
Oh, man. This is going to be hard.
One,
okay.
Yeah.
the fourth one, which was until Sunday a used to be, but it is once again a current theme, The Final Countdown.
Yes. Okay.
And the last one by Jefferson Starship is Jane.
All right.
Jane. Whose theme was that? I'm blanking on that one.
Orange Cassidy.
Oh, I didn't know that was the name of the song. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Andrew, did you write these down here?
I did write them down, yeah.
Okay. So I guess, how do you want to work this, Andrew? Should we go from top to bottom here and to get our list together here?
Yeah, let's go top to bottom.
So what were you thinking was the top? So of the five songs, what off the top of your head do you think would be the highest?
I feel like Cult of Personality and Jane maybe didn't rank so high. Those are the two I was thinking of.
I would agree. I also think that, you know, rock songs, it was more pop songs that would be number one, that would rank higher. So I kind of eliminated Metallica from being number one.
Okay.
To me, Queen feels like it would have been the highest.
So they were the top. Okay.
All right.
Sorry, so they're like number one, and then...
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
That's what
okay.
I feel like. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, okay, I'm cool. So we'll cool with that one, yeah.
So then who do we put as number two then?
I'm thinking Final Countdown or Sandman.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's either Europe or Metallica. Yep, a Final Countdown or Sandman. This is hard. My gut says Enter Sandman.
Okay. I like that.
Okay, so we'll go Queen and then Metallica. So now we've got three more here. Cult of Personality by Living Color, Final Countdown by Europe, and Jane by Jefferson Starship. Ooh, this is where it gets a little murky here.
My gut says Countdown, but my gut could be wrong. Because I feel that was just like a big
hit. Was. It definitely was.
Yeah.
So then four and five, I feel like Cult of Personality is probably the lowest of the five.
I feel that too, because I just...
Which would mean Jane would be fourth.
Yeah. Because on a top Billboard, I just don't feel like that Cult of Personality would be on there. And that maybe same with Jane.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly low, but yeah.
All right. So it sounds like we're going to go as the highest. Enter Sandman is the second highest. Final Countdown is the third. Jane by Jefferson Starship fourth, and Cult of Personality fifth. Right? Is that what we're going to do here?
I'm cool with that.
You're good with that? All right. All right, Steve, that will be our official locked-in answer.
Okay, so in terms of nailing it, you know, exact spot for exact spot, you got two.
Really? Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Did we get one and two?
No, you got one.
Oh.
We got one.
Another
okay.
one.
All right. So we were on the right track with Queen then. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. It reached number one. It was the only one of the five that hit number one. And it was real quick.
Okay.
Another. What was Queen, just as a sidebar, what was Queen's other number one song? Only one other number one song.
Oh,
what was there?
That's an interesting question.
Did Bohemian Rhapsody make number one?
That was the one I was going to guess, too.
I would guess Bohemian Rhapsody. That would be a total guess, but that would be my guess.
Only got to number two. It was Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
Oh!
Crazy Little Thing Called Love!
Damn it!
Yeah.
I was going to guess that, and I was like, no, that's two. I don't know.
Okay.
That's
second.
Yeah.
Second on the second in the rankings, and the only song to make the top 10 was the Final Countdown.
Oh,
all right.
Topped out at number 8. You had it at third. It was number 2.
Dang.
All right.
All right. You missed by one. Third on the list is Cult of Personality. Topped out at number 13.
Wow. Way up on that one, dude. We were way off on that one, yeah. I agree with you, Andrew. I thought that was going to be the lowest of the five.
Yeah.
All right.
13, did you say?
These last three are kind of close together, so we kind of, we're picking here.
Yeah.
The fourth one you did get right. It is Jane.
Yay.
It topped out, topped out at number 14, which meant Enter Sandman was fifth, number 16.
Interesting. See, that does make sense because the real heavy metal songs always had a rough time. I mean, none of them ever got to be like top five or anything like that. I always knew that they would never, because it was always some sort of pop song that would, top out that week for sure.
I mean, there were some hair metal bands that did better, you know, like Scorpions, I guess, or other ones like that did better on the pop charts. Metallica, they kick you know what, but that's pretty much all I came up with there. And what was I going to say?
That was cool.
Oh, and by the way, we need to be. I was at Starcade way, way back in '91. You know, the Sting Hogan match.
And
somebody had a sign out there. So Sting fears Rogue. I mean, Hogan fears Rogaine. Because he was definitely losing. You know, but I don't know if you saw the shot from as he was walking out on Saturday, but the spot on the back of John Cena's head is definitely increasing in size.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, when I saw him at WrestleMania, I was kind of shocked. I was like, that was way bigger than I was expecting. So,
He needs to join the shade head. You just got to go with it. John, just if you're listening, just take it off. Do what I did. It's easy that way.
He's definitely listening. he's getting close. Yeah,
you have to. Yeah, I agree. It's getting bad. It's getting bigger. Every time he's on TV, it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
All right. But that's pretty much I have for you.
Hey.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hope that passes the muster. And it works for you guys.
That was a good one. I like these.
All righty.
Well, hey, if another one comes across your mind, don't be afraid to give us a call.
Not a problem. Y'all have a good evening and happy 4th.
Sounds good.
Awesome. You too.
Yes, you too.
Okay.
All right. Cool. That was that was awesome. History is made. Who was that? Oh, it was Gorilla Monsoon. History has been made. All right. Let's get to some of our email $5 challenges. Zach in Texas says, okay, time for this week's another 5 technical finisher descriptions. You aced them all last week, but it's a little tougher.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. Number one, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
A jumping leg drop bulldog.
A jumping leg drop bulldog?
A bulldog, I know what a bulldog is. Like, grab the guy in a headlock, kind of run, and then pancake him on his face. A jumping leg drop bulldog.
Oh, what about like a Seamaster? Like, you're leg dropping you're using your leg to bulldog him.
I mean, that would be that.
Slash rocker dropper.
I was either going to think that or the what's the one that Booker Booker T didn't usually use it as a finisher, like the
Harlem Hangover.
Pump kick kind
of
thing.
Oh, that axe kick to the back of the head.
Yeah. But I think a Famaster sounds more like a that would be a kick. The Famaster is more of a bulldog, I think.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
I like yours. I think we're going to go with that. All right, Fame Master. Number two, falling crucifix powerbomb.
Oh, and that's got to be Razor's Edge.
That's got to be the. I was going to have the same thing. Got to be the Razor's Edge. Yep. Razor's Edge. Say hello to the bad guy. Okay. Number three. I got no idea on this one, Andrew. An Argentine backbreaker drop.
Wow.
I have no idea. I don't know what an Argentine backbreaker is. Do you?
No.
An Argentine backbreaker drop.
The only thing, complete guess, but like a backstabber, like Carlito and Jericho used to do.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, like a back. Yeah, okay. Backstabber. Best thing I can come up with. Number four, an overhead gut wrench, and then he has in parentheses Canadian backbreaker drop. An overhead gut wrench backbreaker drop.
But he put Canadian in there?
Would a backbreaker drop you like a power bomb?
The backbreaker. So I would say like a Canadian destroyer, but just because he put in Canada.
Yeah. I'm thinking a backbreaker being like dropping a guy over the knee, right?
Oh, yeah. What, could you read it one more time?
Overhead gut wrench backbreaker drop. After gut wrench, though, he puts Canadian in parentheses after gut wrench.
Overhead gut wrench. Yeah, that feels like a power bomb.
And so, like, all right, gut wrench position, you got the guy on the side, you pick him up like a gut wrench suplex, but you get him up, and then you drop him in some sort of, like, a gut wrench power bomb?
What's the Canadian part?
It makes it appear as if Canadian is another way to say gut wrench.
Oh, okay.
That's what it seems to be implying.
Who does like a? I mean, like Jack Swagger used to do one, like a gut wrench powerbomb. But I don't know if we have to do. I can't remember. Is this like?
Oh, finishers. Just finishers.
Just finishers. Oh, okay. Yeah, I would go. Gut wrench powerbomb.
What was that called? A gut wrench powerbomb. Yeah. Gut wrench powerbomb. Because the powerbomb is the name of the move. He's giving us the actual description. So, like, backbreaker drop feels like a powerbomb, right?
I think so.
All right. A sit-out vertical suplex side slam.
Oh, jeez.
So, a sit-out vertical suplex is up and over. A sit-out vertical. Is that like a... what the hell was Goldberg's finisher called?
Oh, the jackhammer?
The jackhammer? Sit out, vertical, like he's got him up in a vertical suplex. He kind of drops him into a pin from the side. Is that what I mean?
Yeah, I like that. The only other thing that came to mind was like a Falconero suplex, but that's not like a notable finisher. So I'm cool. Yeah, I think Goldberg's might work. The jackhammer.
All right, jackhammer. All right, let's see how we did here. Number one. Jumping leg drop bulldog. We had Famasser. You're correct.
Yes.
Number two, falling crucifix powerbomb. The razor's edge. We're 2-for-2. Number three, this is where it went off the rails here.
Andy. Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Argentine backbreaker drop. We had that as a backstabber. The correct answer is a rack attack / shock treatment.
Is that like Lex Luger's, like the torture rack, or is that something else?
I don't know. I was hoping that you
rack
were
attack. Oh wait, doesn't? I think one of, didn't one of the Bellas do a rack attack?
Yes. I'm looking at a YouTube clip now. Yeah, so it's kind of like a torture rack where you get the person up and then drop to your... Oh, okay. I see it here. Yeah, you get them up in a torture rack and then kind of drop to your knees.
Oh, man, that would be killer on your knees.
Yeah.
To put a human weight on that, yeah.
All right, number four, overhead gut wrench backbreaker drop. We had that as the gut wrench power bomb. Also incorrect. It was A-Train's finisher, the derailleur.
Oh, that was a short-lived one.
Yes.
And I think that was another, like, drop to the knees sort of thing, if it's the right one. But
I'd have to look it up, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He didn't win often, so.
And then the last one here, the sit-out vertical suplex side slam, we had as a jackhammer. Did feel like a good guess. It was the Hellevator.
Oh, Matt Morgan move. I would not have guessed that at all, but.
I'm going to have to put this on. I'm just pulling up another YouTube clip to see if I can see it here. Vertical suplex. Yeah. Vertical suplex, sit-outs. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. I get it now. Oh, well, I'm a little disappointed there, Andrew. We only went 2-for-5. Zach got us that this week.
Yeah, I was a little confident. I figured we could do 5-for-5 again, and then, man.
I was very confident, but it didn't work out. Oh, well, that's okay. It happens. Let's go to Jose's. Jose in Golden Valley. We got a couple left here. Jose says, what former tag team champion appeared as a restaurant patron in the 2016 episode of Hell's Kitchen?
What former tag champ, did you say?
What former tag champ?
Was on Hell's Kitchen.
2016.
Oh, Midian was a cook. But that's a guess.
It says restaurant patron, though.
Oh, he was just at the restaurant? I'll still go Midian.
There's a guess. Yeah, Midian, why not? Sure.
Did the Godwins ever win the title?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah,
Midian.
Yeah. Lana had an uncredited role as a dancer in what 2011 film?
Bring It On 4. This time for real.
I like it. Okay. Number 3. What former world champion had an altercation with Johnny Bananas during the Challenge Champs versus Pros in 2017? Do you remember that show?
No.
It was
Johnny Bananas.
I don't know who Johnny Bananas is, but I think that was they had retired pro athletes going up against guys and that are just fans, in competitions. Like, it was a 3-point shooting contest with Michael Jordan. I don't know who Johnny Bananas is, though. Yeah, I don't even know. I'd be guessing.
So who went up against Johnny Bananas? Is that
what former world champion had an altercation with Johnny Bananas during the Challenge Champs versus Pros in 2017? Former world champion.
Sheamus. Total guess, 100%. So feel free to throw out a different champ.
Nope. I'm going Sheamus. Works for me. What musical artist did John Cena introduce when he hosted SNL in 2016?
Jeez Louise. Ashley Simpson.
I have no idea. We guessed that before, didn't we?
Yeah, but I don't think we got it right, so.
Yeah, eventually we're going to get it right.
Yeah.
Number 5, Jeremy Borash, AJ Styles, Don West, and Abyss made a guest appearance on what WB series? The only WB series I can think of is Dawson's Creek, which I think was off the air before TNA started.
What was the name of that show? It had the talking. This is my guess, but it had, cause I think Kevin Nash was on one episode. Oh, Unhappily Ever After? It had a talking.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one with they had the.
Bobcat Goldthwait as the.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. what the hell was her name? The girl on that show ended up being pretty famous, right? She did other movies and stuff.
Oh, she did it. Yeah, she got another series after that or something.
Was it Nikki Cox?
Nikki
late
Cox.
90s, early 2000s star. She became pretty well known.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that's not it because I think that show probably ended for TNA, but it's something
like
that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's see how we did. What former tag team champion appeared as a restaurant patron in the 2016 episode of Hell's Kitchen? We had Midian. The correct answer was The Miz. So that one was there.
Did he call him a former tag champ?
Yeah, former tag champ.
Oh, that's sneaky because, he's a world champ.
True. He is a world champ, yeah.
Sneaky.
Lana had an uncredited role as a dancer in what 2011 film? We had Bring It On 4. I forget what the tagline was, Andrew.
This time it's for real.
This time it's for real. The correct answer was Big Mamas, like father, like son, according to.
Dang. Also, I wish I would have gone Bring It On 4, keep on bringing it or something.
And that would have made more sense. Yeah. Number 3, what former world champion had an altercation with Johnny Bananas during the Challenge Champs versus Pros in 2017? We had Sheamus. This doesn't make any sense. The correct answer, according to Jose, is the Challenge Champs versus Pros, which was the name of the show.
Unbelievable. We're at least getting half a point for that one.
I think we're giving ourselves a half a point for that one. Yeah. That sounds like a copy-paste error, but we're getting credit for it.
That's at least, yeah. Okay. It's not a 0.75.
What musical artist did John Cena introduce when he hosted SNL in 2016? We had Ashley Simpson. Nope, the correct answer was Maren Morris.
So statistically, our best chance of getting those is to keep guessing Ashley Simpson because we've ruled her out twice. So
yes, you're right. You're right. So that'll be our guess every time. That's what we're telling you. And number five, Jeremy Borash, AJ Styles, Don West, the Abyss, made a guest appearance on What WB Series. We had Unhappily Ever After. The correct answer was Blue Collar TV.
Oh, I forgot that was a brief
time. Oh, I do remember them because they plugged that on TV that they were all on there. So,
but because of Jose's, we went 0 for 5, but because of Jose's error, we're giving ourselves a half point. So
absolutely.
There we go. All right. Alex says this is our last $5 challenge. Alex says WWE's music YouTube channel has close to 2 million subscribers. Can you name the top 5 wrestler theme songs that are the most viewed?
Good question.
Now, the question here, Andrew, is do we think this is, I mean, if it's a YouTube, it's got to be current themes. I can't imagine like historical ones.
Like Lex Express theme?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be current themes.
My other, just to throw in a quick thought, maybe something like, you know, a super popular band, like Evolution's Motorhead type thing.
Point
that people would still want to go back to.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think it's all somewhat current. Like there's no, it's not like Real American or anything.
Right. Okay. Yep.
So what do we think here? I mean, my thing is it's got to be somewhat, the ones that are somewhat popular now, you know, would have to be on. So like the not the Shield, like the current Roman Reigns theme.
Yes, I was going to get that too. I don't know the name of it, but.
Neither do I, but I'm just going to write Reigns. That one's got to be on there, the current one. You know, everyone knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What else has been popular? What about Sami Zayn? Do people like the upbeat? Like.
So I think it, yeah. Okay, because the other two I was thinking of for that were like Nakamura and Bobby Roode, just because they're like kind of goofy and.
Ooh, yes, but I think both of those could be on there.
I'm fine.
Bobby
we can
definitely, because when Glorious was out, everybody was singing that song.
Yeah,
that was in sports arenas and everything else. So I definitely think Glorious is on there.
Okay.
I think Nakamura could be. What would we put them all in there? Reigns, Zayn, Nakamura.
Yeah.
And Rude, and then we just need one more. Like I would say Cody, but that's too. It's only been a year. Like that's too.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, maybe like Seth Rollins, Burn It Down. That he had that theme for years.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like a woman wrestler with a popular theme, but like Charlotte.
What about Lesnar?
Oh, I like that. He's had the same theme for 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Lesnar. Let's see how we did here. So we have Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Lesnar. Let me open the attachment here. Not bad. It looks like we have 3.
Oh, nice.
I'll start from the bottom and work our way up. I'll start from the bottom. Number 5 with 18 million views is Roman Reigns, Head of the Table.
Nice.
We did get that one. Number 4, the one we didn't get, 22 million views, AJ Styles, Phenomenal. Number 3 with 22 million views is one we did get. That'd be Bobby Roode, Glorious, nice. Domination. Number 1 we got. 55 million views. Shinsuke Nakamura, The Rising Sun.
Oh, that's number 1. Wow.
Which
crazy.
Means that there's no Sami Zayn. There's no Brock Lesnar. But number 2, with 35 million views, Voices. Randy
Ugh. Ray. I hate that song.
Yeah.
Shame on all of you.
But there it is.
Didn't even think of Orton. Yeah.
Hold on. Jose from Golden Valley 3 minutes ago. He must be listening live. Stop the breaks. The answer was CM Punk. And no, you don't get half points because I was in a hurry. None of this Hulk Hogan creative control nonsense.
Listen, brother. I was a 0.5 dude.
But, I mean, I read it. I didn't mess that up. I'm reading it. That's what it has. It has the wrong answer there. But I like that Jose. That's awesome. I like that Jose is listening and immediately corrected us. That's good. Oh, that was cool. Andrew, that's it. That's all we got. So unless you have anything else to talk about, Andrew, I got nothing else.
I got five things to talk with you about if you're up for it.
Ooh. Yes, I am. Let's go.
Of course, I had to do tonight's theme as 4th of July, patriotic themed.
Absolutely.
Had to go for it. So we're going to do that. A couple difficult ones, but a couple easy ones. I think you got this. I think you're going to get $5 and celebrate July 4th in style.
All right.
We're going to start things off with this question. Who sang Hulk Hogan's theme song, Real American?
Originally?
Yeah.
I thought Jimmy Hart sang it. Originally. It's not the famous version of it is not Jimmy Hart, but I think Jimmy Hart sang it originally. Does that make sense?
It does. No, I'm just questioning.
I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought Jimmy Hart sang it.
So he wrote his WCW theme. Is that what you're thinking of?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
So I will give you another guess.
Okay.
Unprecedented, but yeah, I had to Google that to make sure it wasn't, but I'm not seeing anything for him.
Okay. So who say? The guy who's on the recording that we all know, I believe was like an 80s guy, 80s singer of some kind. I'll know the name when you say it because I know I've seen it before. I'm going to have to guess because I'm not going to remember, but once you say it, I'm going to go, oh, that's right. That's exactly who it is because I know I've seen the – I've read the name, so I know I've seen it. Let's go. Damn. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember the guy's name. This is going to be wrong. I can't even think of an 80s guy. Like, this is what I'm having trouble with. Like, just give me any 80s singer.
Mercury?
All right, I know it's wrong, but Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, all right.
Oh. And then as soon as you say the guy's name, I'm going to go, damn it, that's right, I knew that. Yeah.
Question number two, what was the main event of Great American Bash 2000?
Great American Bash 2000? The end, the bad Great American Bashes is when we get in there.
Yeah, just to interject quickly, like I said, this was 4th of July theme and patriotic, which is the obvious choice. And obviously, I did not come up with these questions until 10 minutes before the show once again.
I like it. No, I like it. So, okay. Great American Bash 2000 was probably the one that was right before the Bash at the Beach with the Hogan, Russo, Bischoff shit. Crud. So that means Jeff Jarrett was the champion. And he wrestled and defeated, I'm going to guess, Sting.
Versus Sting.
And a preview of a future TNA match.
Yes. Probably an all-in main event.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you might have this one. This is right in your wheelhouse at the 1993 Survivor Series. Who is on Team All-Americans?
Team All-Americans. That was at the Boston Garden, that show, that Survivor Series.
Oh, this is in your backyard?
It's my backyard. I was at the show, actually.
Whoa.
I can name you many things about this. The All-American team was obviously Lex Luger with the Steiner brothers, who both wore Stars and Stripes gear that night. And the one that made no sense, I mean, it does, but it at the time made no sense because he was not, you know, this All-American guy. The Undertaker was the fourth member of the team.
Undertaker.
And they took on the Foreign Fanatics.
Oh, wow. Dang, okay. No, question number four.
Thought you were going to ask me who were the Doinks were.
Oh, that would have been good. And you would have been like, what does that have to do with America?
Oh, true, yeah.
Question number four, which future superstar did Hacksaw Jim Duggan squash in his first WCW match?
Ooh. That's a great question. Future star. So Duggan went over there in probably 94. So he got there in 94 and then he squashed somebody that would have gone on to become a star, huh? What about like Eddie Guerrero, I think, would have been ECW at that point, not WCW. So let's say that Hacksaw squashed. Hacksaw squash had to have been a heel. I think he was still wrestling as a member of Harlem Heat, so I don't think it would have been a singles guy. He would have been a singles yet, but I'll try it anyway. Let's say he squashed Booker T.
Yeah, all right. Last question. And this, I'm almost positive, has been on our show in a variation of a different question, but so it's kind of a reuse, but... It fits. Who are the members of Stars and Stripes?
Oh, man. Okay. We have talked about this before.
Yeah.
We definitely have. We definitely have done this before. Or we've at least discussed it. Or it was an answer, I think. I know that one of them was the Patriot. I believe this is as far as I got the last time. and then it would have needed to be somebody else. Man. Around that time in WCW. All right, this is a shot in the dark, and this could actually be right. I think I'm going to say the Patriot and Buff before he was Buff. So I forget what his name was, but Buff Bagwell was not always known as Buff. He was something else before.
All right. Five questions, five answers, actually more like nine or so answers, but still. Are you locked in?
Oh. Yes, I am going to be locked in very shortly here. I am going to be locked in as soon as my computer stops freezing. All right, I'm going to lock in right now.
He mixes power and technical skill like nobody else.
Interesting.
Talking about Ahmed Johnson there, I think.
Oh, agreed with that.
You have to wonder what is going through his mind.
Wow.
So this is what happened.
Got double.
The screen was freezing and I was clicking again. And that's what multiple things go off. Okay. I'm locked in twice. I'm double locked in.
Double locked in. With your double locked in, very fitting because you got double points, as in 2 points.
Ooh. Okay. No half points, though.
No half points. You got 2.5 points. Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
All right. Sorry, Alex.
Unbelievable. Who sang Hulk Hogan's theme song, Real American? You guessed
the legendary Meatloaf. It was Rick Derringer.
Rick Derringer, that's the name. I knew as soon as you'd say it, I'd go, yeah, I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
Yep, I've heard that name before. Okay.
Apparently he was in the band that sang Hang On Sloopy, which I think was a hit in the 60s or 70s. So there's some fun trivia for you.
Yep.
What was the main
hang
event?
Hang On Sloopy, Sloopy Hang On.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if anyone knows this song. It was like a random. what was the main event of Great American Bash 2000? You guessed Jeff Jarrett versus Sting. It was Kevin Nash versus Jeff Jarrett. So you have earned a point five. Right there.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. Oh, you know what? That makes a lot of sense because I remember listening to Kevin Nash in an interview at one point who said at the end of WCW he wrestled Jeff Jarrett for like 6 months straight and loved every second of it.
Oh, really?
That would have been, yeah. He said him and Jarrett were main eventing all the house shows for WCW at that point, which makes sense because they were wrestling in the pay-per-views. So.
It said it was a 17-minute match, too, which seems really long for a Kevin Nash singles match.
It does.
Right. 93 Survivor Series. Who was on Team All Americans? You guessed Luger, the Steiners, and the Undertaker. You are 4 for 4. Full point.
I like it.
Which future superstar did Hacksaw Jim Duggan squash in his first WCW match? You guessed Booker T. think even bigger. It was Steve Austin at 1994.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I beat him in like 40 seconds, I think.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Who are the members of Stars and Stripes? You guessed the Patriot and Buff Bagwell. It was Marcus Bagwell, but you're getting a full point for that one. You guessed Bagwell. You knew who the gentleman was.
Mark, that might be his first name, too, his actual first name.
Oh, yeah. Probably. I guess
I
never thought about it, yeah.
I just knew he wasn't always Buff. Like, there was something before Buff.
Yeah. There was
Marcus Bagwell, that's it.
Yeah. I'm going to mark that down, 2.5. Well done.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll take it.
I would feel good about that one. That's pretty good.
I will.
Celebrate, light off some fireworks tonight.
Yeah. All right. Andrew, where else can people find you?
You can find me on the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast. That is monthly horror comedy stories. Fresh. Never before heard anywhere else. We returned with a new episode for the first episode in like 8 months, so feel free to check that out at the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast.
You can find me on Twitter at TortureMan. Call the show next week if you want to, 515-605-9345. We record on Mondays, so Monday nights around 9 Eastern, you can call us live, 515-605-9345. Email the show, alleliteaftershow@gmail.com. And that's it, Andrew. I think we want to thank people for calling in and emailing tonight in our first call or live call in $5 challenge was cool. History has been made, as Gorilla Monsoon would say. And we're on to next week, right?
Absolutely. Happy 4th, everyone.
Happy 4th. Enjoy your wrestling. We'll talk to you then. Bye.